Blog Talk Radio.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lamming, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
We're debuting the FFPC Genesis Draft tonight. And you know what? The buzzer meter is live and in effect, so stay tuned. 60 seconds. Red versus blue.
One bleeds red, and one bleeds blue. Two friends, one heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. With your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
I've made a few.
Mike, you gotta love this song.
I've had my shells and kicked in my face, but I got through. I need to go home.
King Genesis of last year's FFPC Genesis League. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. I'm joined by my Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Mr. Michael Trent. And, Mike, before we start, you know, the buzzer meter was live and in effect last week. It was so large that the show didn't even archive, thanks to the friends at Blog Talk Radio. So we had to come up with a fitting sound effect for the buzzer meter. And you know what? We're gonna try them out here one after another the next couple of weeks and let the fans kind of decide what the fitting buzzer meter track is. But Mike, here we go. Buzzer meter test number one sound effect. First debut of the buzzer meter. Test sound effect.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, that's pretty good. Actually, thank goodness I don't have to hear those lights or hear the sound or see the lights because I don't drive while I'm drinking, which is a good testament for everybody out there. But that was good. That was good. I love it, and I'm enjoyed to you know, be with you and be with you part of the show. Buzzle meter tonight is at a 5. Not a 12, a 5. But we're looking forward to a lot of talk on, you know, for a change, I think we may talk some redraft. And instead of dynasty, we've been talking dynasty for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So we may talk redraft, but who knows? By the time the end of the show, that buzzer meter may be up to a 7, 8, 9, 10. But tonight, it's a 5. No problem.
Hey, we got a full chat room tonight also. Chef Paul, War Kittens, Prognosticator, Leroy's Aces, and Dale 708. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. The phone number to call in is 347-324-5404. You know, we're going to make this show about the FFPC Genesis Draft. This was the first ever draft conducted at the Fantasy Football Players Championship, www.theffpc.com. One of the big dogs in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. And they're going to have their draft again this year, the big main event. Last night was the story of the Genesis League, Mike. The first ever league that drafted last May, the return of King Genesis. And all the casual diehard players of the FFPC were in this thing. And we've got this next hour, we're just going to talk about this draft. To be honest with you, we've been talking Dynasty for the last month or so with the draft, you know, leading up to all the hype. And, yeah, you know, it got us prepared to look at the rookies and everything. But last night wasn't about rookies. Last night was about redraft and draft position, where you're going to take your guy. I had the two spot. I was fortunate enough to have the two spot, so I knew I was going to get a good player there. And I went into this draft thinking, you know what, I'm going to take my guy and he'll be there. He probably will overpay for him a little bit. For everybody at home, you can check out the draft that we had last night at www.redbluesports.blogspot.com. We've got the draft posted over at the blog, redbluesports.blogspot.com. You can check out the draft, Mike. And this draft went, you know, I felt pretty good about it. The FFPC is one of those leagues where the tight end scoring gets 1.5 points per reception, Mike. So it's one of those leagues that it doesn't always look good on paper, but we're talking about points. And with the tight ends getting 1.5, it really changes things up.
Yeah, it does. You know, just to get that extra half a point every time, I mean, just over and over again throughout the course of the season, I mean that's going to mean a heck of a lot. This redraft this year is going to, you know, it's so different than what it used to be because you had your locked-in player, you had your locked-in running back or wide receiver, and, you know, you pretty much plugged them in. Now it's like, well, now wait a second. I need to figure out a tight end to where I need to get them locked in, whether it be round two or three, to figure out what you want to go with. And I'm looking at a different draft than you are, Scott. But I think I am. But it's pretty wild that who went 1, 2, 3.
Yep, this draft started off, and you know the conventional wisdom says Adrian Peterson at the beginning of your redraft. This draft, Chef Paul decides to take Maurice Jones-Drew in a one-man show. It would appear. With the one pick, and a little bit surprising, but you know he's a guy that I have in my top three, so I can definitely see Maurice Jones-Drew being number one as these years or as the year progresses in the FFPC format. The number two pick comes around, and it's Michael Turner over Adrian Peterson. Mike, I took a lot of heat for that last night, but I stepped out on my ledge, and I like what we saw out of Michael Turner last year with the carries, the touchdowns, the improved offense. You know, Matt Ryan and Michael Turner have really redefined that offense, and with the addition of Tony Gonzalez, I just thought that, you know, we've talked about how that opens up the middle. His yards per carry should probably increase with the addition of Gonzo. And, you know, the other factor that went into that was Adrian Peterson and the cuff. And, you know, obviously if you have Adrian Peterson, you have to back him up. Chester Taylor is that backup. And I thought that I would be paying a higher price for the backup of Chester Taylor than where he went in the draft. And surprisingly, Chester went in the 10th round. And I think, you know, I don't know, I was kind of expecting him to go a little bit earlier than that to secure him. And I think Whipping Post, the three pick, he had Adrian Peterson, and he waited and waited and waited. And I said, man, when is he going to take this guy? And he took him in the – he waited until the 10th round. So he really got good value by backing up Adrian Peterson. Didn't have to do it until the 10th.
I tell you what, Scott, I really have a problem with taking Michael Turner that early ahead of Adrian Peterson or even Matt Forte. The reason is because I'm concerned, not really concerned, but, you know, I think Matt Ryan is the real deal in Atlanta, but it never fails that, you know, a quarterback or a wide receiver or running back, whatever position they are, they have a sophomore slump. And I'm really concerned about the sophomore slump. If he has that in Atlanta, then Michael Turner, he might have a hard time running the ball because they might be coming from behind, and that's going to make it a little bit more difficult. I think I would have gone Adrian Peterson, even Matt Forte. But, you know, it's your pick, and it's the way you got to go. The hot team right now is Atlanta because of Matt Ryan and Michael Turner and what they're doing. But, and the wide receivers, but I'm worried about the sophomore slump.
Okay, well, you know, Dave's giving me a little bit of heat here in the chat room, and just looking at the Turner is a 6-year back, Mike. Forte was not an option for me. I'm not going to take a rookie.
No. I know Turner's a 6-year back. I'm talking about Matt Ryan being a sophomore slump at quarterback, and when things don't get going, they can't go the running game. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, Dave, take that. Mike, back it up. Mike, that was good.
I mean, if you have no throwing game with Matt Ryan being back there, you have no running game, and the game is over. So
okay, well,
Ryan made it happen for Atlanta, so to where Michael Turner could run the ball.
Purely from a statistical standpoint, Adrian Peterson is a beast. Michael Turner was impressive too. He was the entire offense. I don't think you're gonna let Matt Ryan, regardless of the year he had last year, he just controlled the game. He's not putting up tons of stats. A sophomore slump would be if you were gonna carry your team, but Matt Ryan just really doesn't make mistakes and he just takes care of the team. This is Michael Turner's team as far as the offense is concerned. 377 carries. 1,700 yards, very comparable to Adrian Peterson. The touchdown, 17-10, almost doubled the touchdown. So even if he has a reduction, he's okay there. The only difference is the receptions. 6 receptions, he's not involved in the passing game, to 21 receptions for Adrian Peterson. So when you look at that, okay, you know, he's getting 15 more receptions. That's equivalent to 2.5 touchdowns. And if they continue to improve, and I look at the additions of Gonzo as an improvement for Michael Turner. I don't know what's going to go on with Adrian Peterson. We have a different quarterback. We think it might be better. We're not for sure. And Adrian Peterson hasn't been, you know, exactly, you know, what we call somebody you could count on. It just hasn't really put the entire season together due to injuries a little here and there. Kind of like
I totally disagree with you. I totally disagree with you. I'm talking about the Atlanta situation. If Michael Turner, he can run all he wants, but the main thing is Matt Ryan, he has to make sure that they're doing all the right things to where Michael Turner is not in a 3rd-and-6 or the offense is not in a 3rd-and-6 all the time. They were in a 3rd-and-6 very few times last year, which meant that Michael Turner was in a 2nd-and-4, run the ball. Next thing you know, 17, 20-yard carry. You know, I'm not saying that that's going to change, but I really think that defenses they're going to catch on to Michael Turner, which if they haven't already, they will. They're going to catch on to him, and they're going to catch on to Matt Ryan. And next thing you know, they're dealing with 2nd-and-11, 2nd-and-12, 3rd-and-13. And they're going to be coming out of a hole that I don't think they can get out of. Now, I'm not saying, you know, definitely that that's going to happen, but I definitely think. Oh, come on now! No, wait a second. Did I say definitely too much?
Time's up, Mike. Time's up. 347-324-5404, Mike, is the number. And, you know, the bottom line is in the first round, you really can't go wrong with any of those guys up there. It's
Frank Gore.
The one, half a dozen of another. You could take MJD there. You could take Turner. You could take Adrian Peterson, Forte. let's continue down the draft here.
Hello?
No picks that surprise me until you get to Andre Johnson here in the sixth pick. Pretty big pick for the sixth pick overall, especially for a receiver that hasn't had a history of staying healthy. And let's see, as we go on here, we had LaDainian Tomlinson. Scott shows up, New Jersey show. He shows up with LaDainian Tomlinson as the fifth pick. It's not exactly been a picture of health finishing up the season last year. Mike, you still with me?
Yeah, barely. I didn't catch the last probably 30 seconds.
Okay, well, not sure if something aired out there. We're talking about the FFPC Genesis draft. We've got Michael Trent with us. We've got the FFPC crew in the chat room, and we're talking the FFPC Genesis draft. We're looking at the first round. A couple of surprises here. LT going at 5, Andre Johnson 6, Steve Slayton at 7. 4D takes Steve Slayton. And, Slayton's one of those guys that has explosive upside. It has LT-type player written all over him, D'Angelo Williams-type player, just a real explosive back. Size seems to be the problem. The coaching staff with Kubiak and those guys, I think they're a little worried that he's not going to be able to carry the load. And don't be surprised if one of these backs they sign to the practice squads, for training camp might be able to help out and take some carries away from Slayton. Larry Fitzgerald, Tommy takes Larry Fitzgerald. Nothing wrong with that. Steven Jackson falls. Steven Jackson falls to 9. I mean, you can't complain about Steven Jackson falling to 9 if you're in the 9th spot.
Oh, no, I'm really surprised with that, Scott. In a redraft league, you got 1 year, you got Steven Jackson at 9. Absolutely. I would take him anytime, and I think it'd be very solid. Matter of fact, I think I would take him ahead of Westbrook and some of these others, but that surprises me that Steven Jackson would fall that far. But I'll tell you one that looks very, very, very live is Brandon Jacobs, definitely.
All right, well, we'll get to that. We're looking at we've got Brian Westbrook dropping to 10 right after Steven Jackson. Both of those guys got to be, ecstatic about getting Steven Jackson, Brian Westbrook, and Frank Gore. Look at the entire first round. You're happy with any player you get there in the first round. So let's look at the second round. Kittens looks at he has Gore and he has the return of Tom Brady, so he feels good about Randy Moss. Nothing wrong with that. Bingers brings on Calvin Johnson. With this format, again, 1.5 points per reception for tight ends. I was going to take Witten if he was there. I didn't think he would be. And so he goes at 2-3, Mike. Nothing wrong with Jason Witten in this format at 1.5 catches per 1.5 points per reception. You could look at, a Witten-type guy getting 80, 90 balls and, just add another 40 or 45 catches to that, and that's the type of player you're getting there.
I'll tell you what, I mean, in that situation, could you have gotten Reggie Wayne maybe and then held off for maybe Antonio Gates?
Well, I think the question surrounding Antonio Gates would be the same as they were last year. Is he the same player that he once was? He looked it in the playoffs. He played through pain when he had to, and I like to see that. But, Jason Witten is the type of guy that again, is going to get you 80 catches on a bad team in a bad year. And now with the loss of Owens, Witten could get 100 catches. He was at 96 2 years ago. So he's the type of guy that could get you 150 catches. I think Witten's value is extremely high in this format. And, looking at that draft board, Quarks has to be happy getting Westbrook and Witten combined. Could be looking at, 100 catches from Witten and, 70 catches from a healthy Brian Westbrook. I mean, really right out of the gate with two superb players. So that draft is shaping up to be a force. Moving on with the draft, Reggie Wayne, Steve Smith was another guy I was targeting, hoping he would fall. D'Angelo comes along, nothing real surprising here. Barber, Roddy White, there's a pick that might bother you, Mike. Roddy White at 2-8. Yeah, 2-8. Backing up LaDainian Tomlinson in the first round with Roddy White. So definitely an upside player there. But if you have any fears with Matt Ryan, then you know, then you obviously wouldn't want Roddy White that high.
What about Colson? I mean,
okay,
well, Mark,
yeah, Colson's coming up.
Let's play Drew Brees throwing to him, like you said. I mean, I'm like you. I'm in love with Drew Brees, and I love the way he spreads it around. Is Colson going to come back solid and be a 16-week player this year?
Moving on with Drew Brees, that's a real high pick for Drew Brees, considering, and that's Team Thompson. He knows what he's doing. So Drew Brees at 2-9 is a little early in this format. Anquan Boldin, Clinton Portis, I'm coming up on the clock, and I'm looking at what's there. I've got Colson staring at me, Dwayne Bowe were really the two guys. I had Greg Jennings there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get one of those wide receivers, Jennings, Bowe, and Colston. They're all right there, but I could guarantee myself with a running back. And in this draft class, I really felt like a wide receiver would be available if I wanted it. With a wide receiver just looks like a deep position to me. I can play matchups and get some good points out of wide receivers. So I really wanted to secure another running back. In this format, again, you can start four running backs. You only have to start two wide receivers. So I'm already guaranteed one of Colston, Bowe, or Jennings. So I went ahead and looked at Portis as a safe play. He's sitting there on the clock, and I went ahead and snagged him, Mike. He wasn't a guy that I had any intention of drafting. He's not a guy that I look forward to drafting. But with him sitting there, I thought to myself, okay, Washington did absolutely nothing to take the ball out of Clinton Portis's hands in the offseason. He had 340 attempts last year. That's like third highest in the league, 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns, 30 receptions. He's just an all-around back. He basically is the Redskins' offense. And, you know, he's still young. He's not for his – I mean, he's old on carries, but he's young with age. I mean, he came into the league very young. And I don't see much changing for Portis. I think he's a safe type of top 10, top 15 back.
Yeah, and you know what, Scott? I want to thank you. Because he's a top 15 back in my opinion for the next couple years, but for this year, no doubt he's probably a top 12 back because of what he does and the way he goes about things. He can catch the ball every once in a while when he needs to, but inside the 10 to get you some fantasy points, he's going to do it. Clinton Portis, they're going to give it, and he might get some, 20, 30-yard runs to the end zone. So there's a lot of things that are very very positive about Clinton Portis.
Well, and I got him at an RB14 price, too. So, you know, RB14 is about where he belongs, and it's a safe starting play. Obviously, I could have taken a wide receiver there, but then I'm looking at what running backs are going to be left at that point. And my RB2 would have been a Joseph Addai or a Jonathan Stewart. Every week I would have had to have started a Joseph Addai or a Jonathan Stewart type player in the draft, because at that point you're coming back. You're waiting all the way to about pick 47
right.
for RB2. And I didn't want to be waiting until pick 47 for my RB2. If I was at a different spot in the draft, then maybe I'd take two wideouts. But I really wanted to get that RB2 secured.
Well, Scott, let me ask you a real quick question. You're in Indy. You hear the scuttlebutt, so to speak, on Joseph Addai and what's going on. Is he going to be the man in Indy right now at running back? I mean, I hear he is, but there's been a lot of stuff that I've been hearing about what's going on at the running back situation at Indy.
Well, Mike, I wish I knew, man. It's it's looking all accounts that they're going to give Donald Brown carries as well. They'll probably phase him in. Addai will get his. It's just going to be one of those, two-headed attacks. And you know, Addai didn't do much with the carries that he had last year. If he was in the end zone, he wasn't getting in there very often. And I think a lot of the Colts fans hadn't given up but it seemed like the coaching staff had for some reason. And I don't know. I like to think that it was a lot of schedule involved with the Joseph Addai situation last year. They had a brutal schedule. We all knew that was coming. It was going to be very hard on the Colts, and they played tremendously to get to the playoffs through that schedule. But they took a first-round running back for a reason, Mike. When they could have addressed so many other needs, they really felt like Donald Brown was a talent.
They took a second-round running back the year before. You know, it just seems like the league has changed in the way they approach as far as running backs, because it is becoming a running back by committee, and that's just the way it is. As far as you better have a second running back when you're redrafting, or whether it's dynasty or what have you, you better have a backup, and that's something that I've learned to secure and make sure that you're going to be fine, whatever team it is that you have that beginning running back. You better have that backup.
347-324-5404 is the number. And Mike, gosh darn it, I forgot to play my sound clip before my draft pick. So I'm coming up here at the 3-2, and let's see, King Genesis is coming up on the clock. Okay, King Genesis is on the clock at 3-2, and obviously Bo and Jennings go just like he predicted they would to Chef Paul. Chef Paul's having a great draft, but at 3-2, King Genesis selects Marquez Colston. Obviously with the injuries are a concern with Marquez Colston anytime you draft him, but what I look at is the quarterback situation. I have no qualms, no issues drafting a wide receiver one on the best quarterback in the league, and that's what you're getting with Marquez Colston. You're getting Drew Brees. And if he's healthy, again, that's the big if, but he put up pretty respectable numbers by missing half the season thereabouts last year. So I look for, you know, a 90-catch type of season out of Colston if he's healthy.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's no doubt about it. But I got a question for you. Can T.J. Houshmandzadeh, this is one that I've been targeting in Seattle, can he score more points in a redraft league than Colston? Why?
With Matt Hasselbeck, tell me why. That'd be a no. Well, Matt Hasselbeck has no help in the running game, so I don't see why they won't do the exact same thing as they did last year. If you have no threat of a running game, they're just going to draw back and they're going to play coverage with you all game. And they did nothing to address their running back position at all. And that's the weakness of their team. It just didn't make a lot of sense at all. So,
what's New Orleans got as a running game?
Come on.
What do they have? I mean, they fade out. They go run straight up the middle for about 3 yards.
Mike,
and next thing you know, Drew Brees is in the backfield.
You're debating whether or not Drew Brees gets the job done. Does Drew Brees get the job done? He's the best player in the NFL at the quarterback position. So
Drew Brees will get the job done. You're asking me if they have any running back potential. They don't. Reggie Bush, whoop-de-doo. I mean, he's going to get some done, but he does most of his damage out of the backfield.
Well, it doesn't matter. The defense respects it, Mike. So you've got a successful quarterback system there with that backfield intact. So for whatever reason, they've got defenses playing them honestly, whereas Seattle showed last year, nobody's going to play them honest. They're going to drop back, and they're not going to worry about that offensive line or the running back situation. It doesn't scare them. So I don't know.
Well,
both of them
going against soft schedules, so – you know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, both of them are going against soft schedules.
Well, I haven't even analyzed it that deep, to be honest with you. I just don't see. I mean, Houshmandzadeh and Cincy is a different story, and I'm not sure where I look. But let's see where he goes. Tom Brady goes at 3-3, Mike, and that's the return of Tom Brady. So let's see what he does. Another tight end comes off the board with Dallas Clark. I like what Team Thompson's putting together there. Drew Brees was a pick there that you have to.
to man up and take, and then he comes back with Dallas Clark. So he's sitting with no wide receivers through three rounds. Yeah, kind of scary. New Jersey show with Brandon Jacobs, Peyton Manning coming off the board a little early for Peyton, man. I'm not taking Peyton in the third. When I got Peyton Manning last year in the fifth at the FFPC, Kevin Smith goes, Usman Azada, there's your guy. Pierre Thomas, the real Leroy, takes Pierre Thomas before Reggie Bush. That's a gutsy pick. Didn't expect that one. And then to see Reggie Bush fall to 311. Now, listen, Chris Johnson, Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush, real explosive, a lot of high upside there. You know, you've got to like what he's putting together. Then, you know, War Kittens finishes up with Brandon Marshall. So he started with Gore, Randy Moss, and Brandon Marshall at Mike at 4-1. He takes Terrell Owens. So Kittens has Gore, Randy Moss, Brandon Marshall, and Terrell Owens.
Well,
that's a heck of a start.
I tell you what, I love the Gore, obviously. Man, he's got that looks really good. What you're looking at there, I mean, that's going to be tough. What's he going to come back with on his next pick?
Mike, do we have a what does that sound? We have a buzzer meter update. I think the rest of the chat room can sense it. The buzzer meter has just lifted up about a point and a half in the last 10 minutes. It's at least a solid 7.5 right now with the points. 347-324-5404. This is Red versus Blue. We're talking FFPC Genesis Draft with the FFPC crew in the chat room. We got Wes Welker coming off the board. Very nice pick for Bingers. He's putting together a team. Quarks brings on Antonio Gates like he talked about. And then Antonio Bryant comes on. Real nice pick for Leroy here. I thought Antonio Bryant might actually fall. I really thought I had a shot at Antonio Bryant in this draft for my draft spot. And to see Antonio Bryant go, okay, well, you know, that kind of follows along with his draft. He's got Pierre Thomas. He's got a couple of high upside guys there. Tommy with Thomas Jones, you know, nice, what he considers a safe play. I'm not too sold on that. 4D with Moreno. No Sean Moreno coming off the board at 4-5, a little early for Moreno with not knowing how Denver, if they're going to just let him be the bell cow year one. He's got four running backs to start the draft. 4D starts off with four running backs, Steve Slayton, D'Angelo, Kevin Smith, and No Sean Moreno. And, you know, he ends up actually, we'll talk about it, but he ends up with a couple of pretty solid wide receivers coming up with his next strategy. You'll see what happens. But then he comes back with four wide receivers. Interesting strategy, and we'll see how that turns out. Wolfie's Big Adventure, this is Jules McClain. She comes back with Tony Gonzalez. So, look, she's putting together Tony Gonzalez, Peyton Manning, Andre Johnson, and Marion Barber, Mike. Really nice team, and I like what she's doing. New Jersey show, Scott comes on, and he takes Tim Hightower. Timmy Hightower with the 4-8? Mike, that's a little high for Timmy Hightower. If I had to
pick. That's a little early. When I saw that, you know, Scott, I was kind of surprised for Tim Hightower. I mean, you know, he's been pretty good last year, but, you know, to take him that high when you've got so many other players that are behind him that you can take, that really surprised me.
Yeah, that pick gets the official.
What about DeSean Jackson? Did you already mention him? I mean, was he there?
No, we're not to him yet, but he's on his way. Then we end up with Marshawn Lynch. Look at the value on Marshawn Lynch at 4-9. Team Thompson ends up with Marshawn Lynch. He waited for his RB2, and he doesn't have a wide receiver at this point, but he's got Forte, Marshawn Lynch, Drew Brees, and Dallas Clark. As long as he takes care of that situation there for the week one and for the first couple of weeks, you know, you're getting a steal with Marshawn Lynch at 4-9.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, I'm still questionable about Marshawn Lynch. But he'll be ready to go, and we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, I would secure a – I don't know. This is just my take. I secure a running back, a wide receiver, and let's move on.
Well, Team Thompson now is sitting with two running backs, a tight end, and a quarterback, and no wide receivers. He finishes up, and he grabs DeSean Jackson in the fifth. We'll talk. That's his wide receiver one. Whipping Post comes up with Ronnie Brown at 4'10 to go with Tom Brady, Adrian Peterson, and Anquan Boldin. And then, so I'm sitting on the clock, and I'm looking at my options. And, you know, this is the FFPC. This is the draft where you've got to look at the true value of the tight ends. And King Genesis is on the clock. And so, Mike, I'm looking on the clock, man, and you know what? I don't want Joseph to die. I've already had my two running backs secured. I'm looking at a wide receiver. There's one wide receiver staring at me, Mike, and it's Braylon Edwards. And I'm like, man, this is the guy I talked to Dave about before the draft. I'm like, this is the guy that if you look at him on your team, you're looking at him, you're like, oh, geez, why did I do that? But at five in the fourth, the end of the fourth round here, he's sitting here at 4'11".
Are you sure you want to take a chance?
Oh, you know, he's one of those guys. He's feast or famine, man. Is he going to come back?
What about Santonio Holmes?
Anyway, I take Owen Daniels, man. This is an FFPC draft. It's 4-11. I'm on the clock, and I need a tight end in this format. I'm very high on the tight ends. This is what did it for me last year. I had Dallas Clark in this format. I had John Carlson. And I had Kellen Winslow. And you know, those are the guys that at 1.5 points per catch can really make a difference. And Owen Daniels is a guy that caught 70 balls last year. If Matt Schaub is healthy, he's going to continue there playing that way, then I'm going to take Owen Daniels. I passed over Chris Cooley for Owen Daniels, and after I did that, I'm like, man, that was tough. The only reason I did that was because I had Clinton Portis already, and I passed over him. But both those guys.
You can get another tight end in your next round, couldn't you?
Well, that's the key, the FFPC. You can start up to three tight ends. You can start up to three tight ends. And so in this format, every draft that I see out of the FFPC, every draft is a little different because everybody's trying their own strategy. And, you know, I'll take Owen Daniels. I'm still waiting on my wide receiver two. But, Mike, what's the difference between your wide receiver two and your tight end one when your tight end one is catching 105 balls? If Owen Daniels catches 70 balls, he's got 105 balls.
Yeah, I know. The way I look at tight ends a little bit different than maybe most of you do. I don't really put much stock in, even though I got Jason Witten and the Vasante Sancho. That may be one you might want to wait on, Scott. You might want to wait on Shaco. But I look at wide receivers so much more than I do tight ends, because unless you have that dream tight end, and that dream tight end is going to be Witten.
Well, there's also one guy in this draft that I told everybody before the draft. I said there's going to be one guy when that's picked in this draft that after his name is called, everybody is going to feel just a dagger in their stomach, Mike, in this format. And he's a guy that I wanted in the fifth round, and Chef Paul is staring at him in the face, and he's within my clutches, and he takes him, and it's Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen is the guy that in this format I knew that there was just everybody along in the league, once his name was called, they're going to say, dang it, he went too early for me.
Wow.
Yep. So he went 5-1. Okay, you know what? I missed out on Greg Olsen, but you know what? Chris Cooley's still sitting there, an 80-catch guy. So, again, do the math, and FFPC, that's 125 catches. You know, even with his receptions, I mean, you're getting another 40 points out of that. That's roughly another 6 touchdowns, right? Another 40 points, that's another 6 touchdowns. So, now, would you take an 80-catch, 850-yard, 6 touchdown type of wide receiver here? Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, Chris Cooley, he's been steady every year, ever since I've been doing this with you and ever since I've been tracking fantasy football. You can always rely on Chris Cooley to be, he's going to get a touchdown. What, how many touchdowns did he have last year? I mean, Bottom line, he's going to be in the mix of the game.
Well, he's not a touchdown guy, but again, by the math that I just gave you, with an extra 40 points due to his receptions, he's an 8,806 type of guy. Braylon Edwards is staring at me in the face, okay? Braylon Edwards is there, and he had 55 for 802 last year. Now, he has a lot of upside. Obviously, if he can get his crap together, you know, he can be that type of player. But why take that when there's very little risk with Braylon Edwards? Now, you know, he looks like a great wide receiver too there, but I'll take a tight end too that's inserted in my lineup every single week that I know is going to get me, you know, roughly 120 reception value at the end of the year.
You have a quarterback yet?
No quarterback. And, you know, I really wasn't going to target a quarterback early, but come up with the sixth round, and we ended up doing it. But let's look at some other picks first. We've got Braylon Edwards, Deshaun Jackson off the board. Tony Romo is off in the fifth round. Jonathan Stewart comes off. Eddie Royal, finally, 4D, with four running backs, starts off his wide receiver trend. And I'm just going to go ahead and advance rather than going through the rounds because we've got 20 minutes left in the show. Eddie Royal, Vincent Jackson, Derek Mason, Donnie Avery. Mike, he waited on his wide receivers till the fifth round. Again, he started off with Slayton, D. Will, Kevin Smith, and Moreno. Then he comes back and he just fires away at wide receivers with Royal. Not sure what we're going to see, but it's probably another fantastic year for Royal. Vincent Jackson, Derek Mason, and Donnie Avery. Put together a really solid four wide receivers when Donnie Avery is your four.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds real good with his running back core. Eddie Royal, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Eddie Royal and the new system that Josh McDaniels has going on. I think he'll be solid. But it sounds kind of risky, but he needs to go shore up a quarterback, in my opinion.
Well, I think we all do. I think we're all looking at this draft and saying, okay, I don't know where we're going to get our quarterback, but we're going to get it because they're dropping. Like, I mean, they're just dropping round after round. You know, let's look here at the rest of this fifth round.
Everybody.
Roy Williams, Chad Johnson, Anthony Gonzalez was another name that I was kind of crossing my fingers, maybe hoping he would come back and I could take him as my number two. I even considered him at 5-2. Anthony Gonzalez was a guy I considered at 5-2 as my wide receiver too. But again, I look and the numbers, the math just really takes over for me, and I'm just like, okay, I'm not picking with my heart here. I'm picking with the scoring system. The scoring system dictates I take Chris Cooley. So. Anyway, Winslow's there. He was too risky for me. Larry Johnson goes. Kurt Warner. Look at Kittens now. Gore, Moss, Marshall, and Owens. He ends up with Larry Johnson and Kurt Warner. A little bit of age tandem there, but, you know, guys, Larry's on his 30 and Kurt's on his last years.
Don't matter about age when you're in redraft.
Four of his six picks here are very, very old. And you know, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Larry Johnson, Kurt Warner. A lot of veterans, though, and I don't know what he's got there in Larry Johnson. We'll have to see.
You know what, Scott?
That,
I was going to ask about.
Really together.
I was going to ask you about Kurt Warner because I hadn't heard of that name, and you know, do you think that Arizona team can put something together, the special thing that they did last year, and continue to move on just like what they did last year? I mean, Kurt Warner, he put up in. Crazy stats, fantasy football wise, and you're talking about a redraft league for 1 year. So, I don't blame the guy one bit at all for taking Kurt Warner and continuing to move forward.
Well, let's look at some other things here. Another pick that really burned me was Chef Paul again. Right at the turn, man, it's like he was looking off my cheat sheet.
Greg Olsen.
Rashard Mendenhall was a guy that I didn't know was going to go that early, but I think a little bit of Pittsburgh love took over in that, and he ended up grabbing Rashard Mendenhall from me. I was still of the mindset that I'm going to grab four running backs here, and Mendenhall is a guy that I think could easily be starting the second half of the season, if not sooner, over Willie Parker. So I think he got tremendous value with Rashard Mendenhall in the ninth. And, you know, at that point, I'm taking – you asked me if I had a quarterback. In the sixth round, I'm looking at Phillip Rivers still there, and you know, with a 4,000-yard quarterback, with the weapons that he has and the value that he is, I went ahead and secured Phillip Rivers before, because I kind of felt like there would be a couple of quarterbacks go, and they really didn't. Everybody just kind of chilled and said, "Hey, I'm waiting on my quarterback." If I had waited, I could have still grabbed somebody, you know, along the lines of Matt Castle or something like that. But I think there's a lot of value in having a quarterback like Phillip Rivers on your team in the sixth, when other teams are paying third round price for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you can wait on it. You can wait. But the one thing about it is you better catch it. You better catch it, whether it's in round six, round seven. You better make sure that you know what you're doing and grab that quarterback that's going to be there with you and be with you throughout the entire year, because there's no turning back. After you once you grab that quarterback, there's no turning back. So do you want to get it in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe wait and find lightning and bottle? So I don't know.
Well, Mike, this is a league I really wanted to win. I'd like to defend my title in this. And so I'm sitting here with Turner and Portis, Colston, Daniels and Cooley, and Rivers, and I need a wide receiver too. And, you know, there's a couple of names here coming up: Torrey Holt, Hines Ward, Lavernius Coles. Lavernius Coles was the one that really was picking at me, like, okay, you might want to take Coles here. And at the end of the day, I took Torrey Holt. He obviously had a terrible year by all accounts, nothing to brag about. It was just one of those years that said, man, did he age that fast? But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say, with a new offense, a new quarterback, maybe he gets a little bit of new life and he really hits the gym and stays in shape. It's not like the guy's crippled. It's not like he's ready for the, you know, right, for the geriatric farm here. This is still Torrey Holt. And does new life and new surroundings help him get back on top of where he needs to be?
I can't take Holt. I can't take Holt in that situation, because how many receptions are you going to get and how many touchdowns are you going to get? When it comes time for the red zone, when they're inside the 30, 20, are they going to go to Holt? No, I don't think so. So what's your other two options?
Lavernius Coles or Hines Ward.
Oh, Coles sounds
good to me. This is what you get in the seventh round, okay? You're waiting in the seventh round. I mean, Lee Evans is there. You know, Donnie Avery's there. I'm looking at maybe Donnie Avery, maybe Jericho Cotchery.
I'd take Cotchery before any of them.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a quarterback situation. I don't know what the coach is going to decide to do. If it's Kellen Clemons, we're in big trouble. Look, Holt just 2 years ago was a 93-catch guy. I mean, he was always in the 90s there for years. 7-8 touchdown type guy. And Mark Bulger, you know, David Girard, obviously, they're in the same kind of ballpark league there. They've got a good running game in MJD. I just think that Holt can carry his own, especially on a new team. I think he's going to surprise a lot. And in a seventh round, I'd feel a lot better if he was my wide receiver 3 or 4. But in this format, I only need to start 2 every week. I'm going to start my, 2 to 3 every week. I'm going to start my my tight ends and going to start my running.
I know,
back.
But I would not take Holt. That's just me.
If I'm going to put any red mark on my draft, it's going to be Torrey Holt. It's going to be the my worst pick of the draft. If I have to come back and look at it and say what caused me to lose, I'll go ahead and predict that it would be the Torrey Holt pick.
I mean, Scott, how many touchdowns is he going to get a year?
Oh, 6 or 7.
How many times are you going to start him?
Well, he's the only second quarter wide receiver I've drafted this so far in the seventh round. So my other wide receivers, I
started every time.
Yeah, so I started off with Kevin. I finished up with Kevin Walter. Okay. I finished up in the 13th round with probably one of my favorite picks, Earl Bennett, in the 13th round. Jay Cutler's going to look for a target, and
I know you're high on Earl Bennett.
I'm very high on Earl Bennett. Just with the mere fact that they're familiar with each other, and Devin Hester, you know, I think Cutler's going to be zinging the ball.
I think he's
better
value.
Say again.
I said I think he can get better value other than Holt. You can get somebody else out there that's better than Holt.
Yeah. So, So then we came on and grabbed Austin Colley, a wide receiver for the Colts, possibly a wide receiver three. That these are upside guys. I'm looking for upside guys to kind of make up for that lack of wide receiver, because obviously if Reggie Wayne or Gonzalez goes down, you know what? This Austin Colley kid could step right into the wide receiver two role for Peyton Manning. I picked up Patrick Creighton, again, another Romo target. Just somebody that, you know, if there's an injury there, Roy Williams, Patrick Creighton, Austin Miles, one of those guys, you know, very unpredictable, but presents, you know, upside in the right situation. I picked up Kenny Britt for Tennessee, the rookie that is already turning heads with just the first couple of days of camp going on. And threw out a David Patton, you know, in Cleveland. Just guys that I'm like, okay, I need to load up at wide receiver to make sure that I have plenty of options when this draft finishes up. And I think I ended up finishing up with 8 wide receivers, Mike, just to make up for that slow start at wideout. But my running back shaped up nice. I took Felix Jones in the 8th. I was very happy about Felix Jones. And then
good
I took
deal on the 8th.
Yeah, I took Felix Jones in the 8th and Ahmad Bradshaw in the 10th. And here's the thing about those two guys. You've got strong running attacks in New York and in Dallas, and regardless if there's injuries, even if there's no injuries in Dallas or New York, you're still going to have – these are the types of guys that can start for you week in and week out and still get you a decent game even as an RB2 on that team. Jacobs is going to carry you more than 250, 260 times if he's healthy. And they carry
another thing,
both
those backs, they are put into situations to where they have the nose for the end zone. And that's what you want. That's what you want. You want to have a back that's going to have a nose for the end zone. And both those backs, they're put into that situation to where, hey, you know, punch it in, 6 points. Let's be done with it.
347-324-5404 is the number. We are breaking down the FFPC Genesis draft. Mike, that's basically my team. I finished up with Kyle Orton. I did secure Michael Turner with Jarius Norwood, and I have talked to a couple people about the draft, and they seem to like the Norwood pick and ensuring that I back him up with Turner. I was kind of afraid that I might get sniped there at the end, but grabbing Ahmad Bradshaw and Jarius Norwood at that 10-11 turn, I was feeling pretty good about that. I also grabbed the San Diego Charger defense. There were several defenses already off the board, the Vikings, the Steelers, and, you know, I'm looking at the Eagles left, the Ravens are gone, the Jets are gone, and I'm like, man, this is the Chargers. This is the same Chargers defense that when they're clicking on all cylinders, they're going to be very difficult.
This is something I've been wanting to ask you about, Scott, and as far as kickers, defense, especially defense, when in a redraft league, when do you think is the best time to pull that plug on a defense? You're getting ready to pick a defense. When do you pull that plug? You have your wide receiver 3, you have a running back 3 just sitting and waiting. Do you go ahead and do it, or do you hit that wide receiver 3, running back 3?
Well, the thing was, the only reason I drafted the Chargers early was because of Sean Merriman, and with him being back, it reminds me of when Chicago had Mike Brown out for the season, and he was the heart and soul back there, and when he came back, they vaulted back up to number one spot again. And so I usually do wait on my defense, but – in this draft, I'm in the 16th round with a premier defense, a defense that I consider that has number one upside that you really don't have to play matchups with. You can throw them in every week. I value that quite a bit. The Giants were still there, too. I value them as well, and the Bears. 16th, 17th round, you usually don't see defenses there that long, in my opinion. This draft we did, and I just happened to be one of the earlier ones to pick it, but I'm usually one of those guys, Mike, that I wait, I play matchups, and I take one 19th or 20th round, just like I do with my kicker. I wait, and look, in the 19th round, I grab Mason Crosby, okay, the Packers kicker. He's going to put up plenty of points. and you know, who knows? I mean, I don't like to prognosticate about the kickers, but, yeah, anything can happen here. We've only got a few minutes left in the show, Mike, and I just wanted to look around and scan this board if there was anything else that stood out to you. obviously, you know, for Chef Paul, I like what he did with the Greg Olson pick. I think that was a money pick. I love his Rashard Mendenhall pick. Nothing you could really say. I think we'll do draft grades next week, give it a little bit more time to digest. Whipping Post had a nice team here. Just kind of threw together some guys and took stabs. Donald Driver, Hines Ward, Ronnie Brown, Tom Brady. You know, that's a lot of players that you could throw in and start. And, you know, Anquan Boldin, Adrian Peterson, these are all guys. He took Chris Wells in the sixth, a little early there, but got a lot of upside. You know, he's got Michael Crabtree. So, you know, he's taking some shots here at some players that can really make an impact. I think I like the Eddie Royal pick a little bit more. The more I look at that pick, Eddie Royal for 4D, Eddie Royal and Donnie Avery, Eddie Royal in the fifth and Donnie Avery in the eighth. You know, I think that's pretty good value. Waiting on your wide receivers to see him do what he did there and to still get those two guys, along with Vincent Jackson, who's going to continue to get better with Phillip Rivers. Not such a big fan of Derek Mason.
You've been kind of known in our local league to take a little risk on rookies.
Yeah, sometimes it works out.
Yep, and so you never know. I mean, you take a risk and find out, you know, you got it for 1 year. That's it. You know, this isn't dynasty. You got it for 1 year, and are they going to make an impact? It depends on the situation they're put into, and you've been very good about doing that. So who you're talking about, I mean, they're taking that chance too. It's a chance. It's a big chance when you take the rookies and put them into that situation on your dynasty or on your fantasy football league.
Yeah, and I'm not seeing a lot else that really stands out. This was a very good draft. There was quarterbacks fell like I expected they would. You know, these aren't guys that are just grabbing their quarterback early, and so, you know, we all got good value on our quarterbacks, except for that Peyton Manning pick earlier. I thought that was a little high for Peyton,
yeah.
In the third round. I'm not spending that pick on Peyton. But to see Steve Breston go up there in the sixth round, these are all guys that we're trying to get a feel for how valuable they are going to be by the time this season rolls around. And, you know, Devin Hester up here in the ninth round, Mendenhall, like I mentioned, you know, 1.5 points per tight end, guys, per catch for tight ends, you really can't overlook that. And I'll bet you if we do some studies with the FFPC, you'll find that a lot of the teams had some top-performing tight ends. And I think we can find a wide receiver to plug in, but I don't think you're going to have those blow-up out-of-the-blue tight ends this year. I just don't see it.
What do you think it would take to get TJ Husmanzadeh? I'm gonna switch gears on you now, Scott. TJ Husmanzadeh. I want TJ Husmanzadeh. What would it take?
In what league?
Dynasty. Any dynasty league.
Well, if you want to go after him in a dynasty league, we can talk off air. We've got him in the hyperactive league, man. We can make something happen tonight, you know. That just sounds like a game show.
I don't want him in two. I want him in three.
What's that?
I don't want him in two. I want him in three.
Warkin's bringing up James Davis, the running back out of Cleveland, as the best rookie pick.
Huh.
I don't know. It's that's one of those. I don't know. Jamal Lewis is still there. Is he really that type of guy that can make something happen out of nothing? Running backs are notorious for, you don't have to be super talented to really get a chance to play in the running back spot. You can be an average running back in a decent system and put up some points. I didn't even realize he was drafted, to be honest with you. James Davis. I'm looking for him. I don't see where he was drafted. Oh, there he is. Yep, Kittens took him in the 16th round. Okay. He's hoping that he can save that Larry Johnson pick. Hopefully, he's hoping that Larry Johnson pans out as his RB2, but kind of like I'm hoping that Torrey Holt pans out as my wide receiver too. Well, Mike, listen, it was a good draft. It was a lot of fun. FFPC went off without a hitch. TheFFPC.com is the website, and we highly suggest everybody go check it out. And you can check out the draft I posted it at redbluesports.blogspot.com. Redbluesports.blogspot.com. Mike, you've got 29 seconds left to talk about this Preakness Stakes.
Well, I'll tell you what, 29 seconds in the Preakness, I don't need 29 seconds. I've had a big time tonight with you, Scott, and everybody else. The Preakness, one thing about it, Rachel Alexandra, the filly, is going to run against the Colts, and Calvin Burrell is going to ride the filly instead of mind that bird.
All right, we're out of time. Red versus blue.
Thanks to Alexandra.
Listening to Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
What up, buddy?